Hello and welcome to episode 233 of the AFK Podcast for the week of February 11th, 2019. I'm your host, James Flynn, and this is the PC Gaming Podcast from Gamers Like You. Joining me this week is Curlin the Wanganator.
What's going on, fellas?
And in the chat room, we've got Jerry Gamer. What's up, Jerry? Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, it really hasn't been a big week news-wise, as far, you know, for PC gaming anyway. Other than a lot of financial reports coming out, which is normal about this time of year. It's tax
and
season
hardware.
And whatnot. And hardware. We do have some big hardware news.
Yeah.
Which kind of kept you really busy this week.
Yeah.
Did you manage to get in any gaming in between all the benchmarking that you did?
Yeah, I have. I've been playing Guild Wars on and off. Like, right around this time of night, since the reset happens, I'll hop on and do like some world bosses for an hour or two and then hop off.
It's kind nice.
Been my cycle the last 2 or 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, man, everything's been cool.
Now, you did manage to get into the Division 2 beta, right?
Yeah, I did. Since I didn't have anyone to play with, I just kind of went in there and tooled around myself for a little while. But it's one of those games where I was going to get it anyway. And now that I have a Radeon 7 with the bonus stuff,
nice.
I didn't even have to spend any extra money for it. You know, so I was like, man, I'll just hop in there and play when it launches. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really pressed to see what the beta was.
Right, but, right. Yeah, I didn't get into it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't try it. Not yet. I was just too busy.
Yeah. Did you get the game or no?
Oh, I got the game, yeah, when I bought my Vega.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I don't know if they... I don't think they sent me a code yet. Did you get a code?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't received a code for any other rewards for the three games that you get.
You should have gotten one for the zombie game.
Resident Evil?
Yeah, you should have gotten that one.
Yeah, I'm guessing maybe they need to buy a new batch of codes.
Oh,
or something.
Okay. Yeah, so you haven't received anything yet, huh?
Yeah, they haven't assigned a code to my account yet.
Wow.
For either of the three. So, it's fine. I wasn't pressed to play it right away anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm not either. It's sitting there. I started getting into Hitman Absolution, which has also been sitting in my library for a couple years probably.
Yeah.
But I ended up watching John Wick this week. I was in a bad mood. So I'm like, I need to see people getting shot in the head. So put John Wick on. You know, like, I need a good revenge flick.
That's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. It's good stress release.
Right.
So then I started playing. I'm like, well, I was watching John Wick, and then that led to me playing Hitman Absolution. So it's been very therapeutic.
Yeah. Did you play the new Hitman?
No, I don't think so. What's the new one called?
It was just Hitman. It was the one from
three years
ago.
Okay, no,
2016?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now that one, that is good.
I'll have to put it on my wish list.
Yeah. I mean, you can find it for fire sale prices since the sequel to that has come out already.
Nice. You know?
Yeah,
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Another cool thing that I like is if you buy Hitman 2 and you have the first one, they include all of the maps and stuff from 2016 into Hitman 2 using the updated and newer engine.
Oh,
and all
okay.
you have to do is have it in your account to get access to that stuff. You know. Well, another thing that I thought was really cool is you can, if you have 2016, you can download the demo for Hitman 2 and still play all of your game one content on the new engine.
Nice. Yeah, it's not on sale right now. I just looked it up. But Hitman, I put it on my wish list. I'll have to wait for a deep sale. A lot of DLC. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it has a story, right?
No.
Not
like Absolution.
Doesn't.
Yeah, it's like... It's like scenarios, you know what I'm saying? Because they did that one episodic.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They did it episodic. So like, you know, every couple of weeks, you get a new mission. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. And okay.
You go to a new location. You have to scope the place out and figure out how you're going to do everything. The cool thing about the way they did that was it was typically enough content to keep you in the game until the next mission came out.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But you know how people are. Some people didn't like it that way. So for Hitman 2, they went back to a traditional release everything at once model.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, I mean, they've probably released everything for Hitman 1, so you could probably buy it the whole bundle, I would think.
Yep, you can.
Great. I gotta wait for a sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you picked up a new piece of hardware this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I on the 7th, which was release day, I was kind of, it was like 9 a.m. I was kind of tooling around. I was like, oh, yeah, today's release day. Let me hop on and see what I can find. But Newegg didn't have anything. Micro Center didn't have anything in it. I remember I was like, oh, yeah, they said they were going to sell them directly on the website. So I hopped on AMD.com, and right there on the front page, it said add to cart. So I added to cart and proceeded to check out. And next thing I know, you know, I was able to do PayPal and have it pull my PayPal balance plus, you know, hit whatever card for the balance, and did next day, and boom, the next day I had a Radeon 7 on my porch.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how you liking it?
I like it a lot. It was about what I expected. It's a Red Team 1080 Ti, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is, I just wanted the extra performance anyway.
Right.
You know, of course, at the price, you have a lot of people just harping on it. But, I mean, I don't care. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Red Team guy. You're going to buy the fastest card you can for Red Team, and that's what you want, right?
Right, right.
Then that's what you're going to buy.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, the reality is at the res that I play at, which is 1440, it goes back and forth with the 1080 Ti and the 2080. All three of them kind of win some and lose some, which is kind of odd that even a 1080 Ti still beats the 2080. In some titles, but nobody want to talk about that shit.
You know? Right, right. And there's titles that the Radeon 7 beats the 2080 in too. A lot of it comes down to game optimizations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. And whether or not the game was optimized for Green Team or Red Team.
Right. Yeah. What's funny though is that typically stuff optimized for the AMD hardware does just as good on the NVIDIA stuff. But the opposite isn't typically always true. Like case in point is the last two Tomb Raider games, you know, even now, what is it? Rise of the Tomb Raider. It performs fine on Radeons, but it's still not as good as the NVIDIA stuff. And the same with Shadow of the Tomb Raider, you know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, for the seven, it's like comparable to a regular 1080.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or Vega 64. And you just kind of sit back and be like, yeah, y'all was on some bullshit. So like, there's no fucking way. And I would not be surprised if they let NVIDIA's DevOps do whatever tweaks they wanted to the game engine itself. And they just fucking left it.
Yeah. Well, did they use GameWorks?
I don't know. I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Now, you did a lot of benchmarking, and those benchmarking results can be found at theafkpodcast.net. Any surprises in that batch of over 30 games, I think it was, that you did?
It did pretty well. A lot of the numbers were, well, some of the numbers were higher than what I expected it to go, especially when you scroll down a little bit and look at some old results of the 1800X I had with the 1080 Ti on some of those titles.
And which drivers were you using? Because I had heard from other reviewers that the original set of drivers that they had out had some issues.
Those were press drivers, not the release drivers.
Okay. So yeah. you were on the release driver at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And,
Not overclocked at all.
Because, on the Ryzen side, if you turn on PBO, it'll overclock itself. You don't have to go in there and fool around with it. You know what I'm saying?
PBO, like, actually, I don't. Explain to precision. Me what PBO is. Oh, precision boost.
Yeah, precision boost overdrive. And the only thing that does, it adds voltage into the equation to allow XFR2 to keep the clock frequencies on all cores higher than what it would on the regular boost algorithm.
Right, and that affects the card as well?
No, this is CPU stuff here.
That's CPU. That's what I thought. When I asked you if you overclocked it, I meant the card.
Oh, the card? Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fast enough as is.
Plus,
there was talk that the what they call it, Wattman wasn't functioning correctly.
Mm.
But I mean, I hardly ever mess around in Wattman anyway. I use it more for monitoring if I'm curious about something.
Oh, I mess around in Wattman.
Oh, you do?
I do. Yeah, I boost the power all the way up to whatever it is, max 50% or whatever it is, the power limit. I boost it all the way up, and then I undervolt because I'll be able to maintain, you know, maximum clocks, but also keep the heat down.
Gotcha.
So, and that's just a matter of playing around with it, you know, seeing how low you can go and still hit your, you know, for the Vega 64, I think it's 1600 megahertz.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just to keep the heat down.
Right.
Because with these reference coolers, they can get a little loud sometimes. So, for most people, it doesn't matter. You're usually playing with cans on anyway. But
Either that or it's inside of the case and the case is up under the desk.
Yeah, you know? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, true enough, there is noise to be heard, but it's typically not as bad as people make it out to be, at least not in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the press really gets bent out of shape about noise more than I think regular gamers would.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that they tend to get bent out of shape for when they do laptop reviews, they're always bitching about the camera. Like, who the fuck uses the camera on a laptop?
I've
got a piece of tape over mine.
Right.
You know?
And hell, most of them put fucking yellow stickies over their stuff, too. So it's like, why are you?
Yeah.
What the hell are you complaining about?
They're so snobby sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. For benchmarks, it kind of started off as a CPU benchmark because I still had the 1800X here on this newer platform, and then I still had a 2600X, and I picked up a 2700, and I was curious to see what the difference would be in titles between the 27 and the 26, since there's two fewer cores and four fewer threads. And for the majority of titles, it's like dead ass even. You know what I mean? The only time the 2700X really steps out is in like Anvil Next games, you know, that will use damn near all the threads you throw at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Assassin's Creeds and the Ghost Recons, you know, all of those titles.
Now, it looks like you went through a lot of thermal paste swapping these CPUs out.
Well, that's the thing. These things don't get terribly hot. So when I swap CPUs, I don't clean it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So because whatever was on there before and whatever is left on my cooling loop, it's enough to create a great enough seal to where it just stays cool. Like my CPU hardly ever breaks like 50 sustain.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
But this is an impressive amount of games that you're able to go through.
So yeah.
Quite a bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but on the name of the title itself, if you mouse over it, I put the settings that I use in case somebody wanted to replicate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Because this is what people really want to know is, you know, what the frame rates are in the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any frame time data, but I mean, pretty much if I had saw any issues with frame times, I would investigate it, and if it was a problem with the title, I would have just dropped it off the fucking list. You know what I mean?
Now, I'm hearing that, I know, because we talked about the rumor that AMD was losing money on these cards, but I had heard from other press outlets that that's not the case, actually. I guess the cost of these cards is about $450 because they're repurposed.
MI50s? Interesting. If that's the case, then more power to them. Hell, I'd rather for them to make money than to call it even and have something out there just to as a filler until they get navvied where they want it. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm wondering then if they will drop the price at some point.
Possibly.
If they've got some room to play around.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, if they do, I don't think they should drop it any more than maybe say $50.
Yeah, I don't
And
think they would have to. I think that would be very competitive if they went just $50 lower. I think that'd be very competitive.
Right. Yeah, the thing that kills me though is half of these knuckleheads talking shit on the internet in these forums, they weren't gonna buy the damn thing anyway. You
No.
know what I'm saying? They just want the price pressure so they can go run out and buy an Nvidia card. But they forget Nvidia is kind of like Intel these days. Whatever they put out is just that's just like this is our price. Either you buy the shit or you don't. You know what I mean?
Well, I think a little bit too, because for me, I've always, recently I've bought Nvidia, but I've been, not Nvidia, I'm sorry, Radeon, but it's been at the lower end. So I'm kind of getting used to the lower prices. So for them to come out with a card that is, on that level of price, even for me, it would be difficult to pull the trigger on it just because I've gotten used to buying the cards at a lower price. But if I were in the market for a card right now, because my Vega's doing fine. It plays games at 60 plus, 1440p, 60 plus frames per second with all the shit turned all the way up. So I've got no complaints, about my Vega at all. It's doing fine. So I don't need a new card right now. But if I was in the market for a new card right now, say it was 2 months ago before I bought the Vega, I would have dropped the money on the 7 before I'd give Nvidia any of my money.
No, but Vernon just swapped over too.
Did he was able to get one? Great.
He's 100% red right now.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I only have one Nvidia card left in the house. I still have my 980 Ti.
Same here. And I got a 980 Ti that I'm trying to sell. So,
That's
like,
still
good
a good
riddance.
card. That was play I was using it earlier to play Hitman Absolution, and it was hitting 70 plus frames per second with ultra settings. So I mean, that's still a good card.
Yeah, it does still hold up because I mean it's essentially on par with the 1070. The 1070 is on par with the Vega 56. So, like performance wise, all three of those are in the same class.
And I remember the 980 wasn't unreasonably priced either. It was,
The
that's when Nvidia prices were still normal.
980 Ti,
Yeah, I think I got mine for $699.
which is the same as the Radeon 7, essentially.
Essentially, yeah.
That was about the same price as the Fury X that I had too.
Yeah, I remember when you had that one.
I think the Fury X came in it launched a little bit lower though.
I think so, because that is, are those Polaris?
No, those were not Hawaii, Fiji.
Fiji, yeah, Fiji cards. It's, you know what, it's so weird. You and I, we've been talking about this stuff since 2012. And so much tech has just come and gone, and it's just moved so fast in such a short period of time, just 5 years. No, wait, 7 years. I had to use my fingers to see how many years. So overall, you're pleased with your purchase then.
Absolutely.
So, was there anything else you could tell me about the Division open beta?
It's nice. It runs well. I can tell that they've been kind of working on Snowdrop quite a bit. Even
Is
maxed. I was still getting good frame rates, but then again, I was on the 7 too. But
yeah,
I still kind of turned some of those down just for performance sakes. Like, I've always been the type where I will turn settings down if I can't see a visual difference just to gain whatever extra performance I could use in a firefight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where mm-hmm. some people just sit at the ultra and leave it. You know what I mean? I'll go in there and tool around a little bit on a lot of titles. See if I can eke some extra performance out of it.
There's always a couple things I turn off. I always turn off bloom because I don't like it. And I always turn off. I don't like it because it's never implemented the right way. It mm-hmm. makes it worse, the lighting worse. So I turn that off, and then I turn off motion blur.
Yeah,
and then if they're using film grain, I get rid of that too.
Yeah, I'll leave film grain, but chromatic aberration has to go. I don't like that
lens
red
flare?
And blue shift shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, motion blur is annoying as hell. I'm like, how the hell do people play with this stuff?
I mean, that's why we have FreeSync to get rid of motion blur. Mm-hmm. Why are you adding it back?
Right. I mean, I can see if you were running at a lot 30 frames per second, then it does help. You know what I mean? But
so when you were playing, did you notice any of the problems that plagued Division 1, like not being able to connect, hackers running rampant?
No, because when I was in there weren't a whole lot of people running around. There were just maybe a handful. Now, I don't know whether that was because either people weren't interested, or maybe it was the time I was playing, or maybe they sectioned their instances off a lot more than they did in the first game. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, hell, it's an online shooter. You know, at some point, somebody's going to cheat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, though, when the game launches, I did notice an anti-cheat start before the game loaded. You know how like on Ubisoft games, it pops up with that little splash screen in the middle of in the middle of the screen. In the bottom of one of the corner on the splash, it said something anti-cheat or something like that.
Okay, so it looks like they did listen to the community and have tried to make some improvements.
Right.
With this next iteration of the game. Fantastic. No connection issues though, huh?
No.
Because that was a big thing, if you remember, from one was the, you know, losing the connection, getting kicked out, not mm-hmm. being able to connect, being in a queue, not being able to get into the queue. So yeah, definitely looking forward to playing this with you and the other fellas, because I know Doug picked it up, Kurt picked it up, so we should have plenty of...
We should have a good squad. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have plenty of people in there to play. Mm-hmm. At different times of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see, what do we got next here in the news? Some very sad news. Activision's cutting 200 jobs this month. You know what pisses me off about this was the fact that their new CFO just got a $15 million bonus.
Not surprised.
I see stuff like that, and it just makes me sick to my stomach that that's tolerated, that you can have someone who gets a $15 million bonus while there are people in this country that they can't even put food on the table.
Yeah.
It's just, it's disgusting.
It is, but not surprising. That's what happens when you have a hyper-capitalistic society like ours. I mean, I'm not like socialist, 100% socialist or whatever socialist, and I'm not 100% capitalist. It has to be a balance.
Yeah,
and I think we're way the hell out of whack.
I think at this point, both parties have been hijacked by extremists, and something needs to change. We need a third party that comes out for the rest of us that are stuck in the middle.
Yeah, neither party is worth a damn at this point. Well, I mean, they haven't been for a long time.
It's like the two bad choices.
Right.
Something's got to change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a socialist either, but I mean, as a human being, part of the human race, it just makes me sick to see the division between the 1% and the rest of us.
Right.
The gap keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Right. And it's funny because you hear some people talking about, well, they earned that money. I was like, in most cases, they've racked up so much to where the money is working for them. They aren't working for it. you know.
Right. And a lot of it is inherited.
Yeah, either that or just plain old luck.
Yeah, knowing the right people, being in the right place at the right time. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not saying totally socialist, but I'm saying that maybe the top 1% can afford to carry a little more of the burden.
Well, yeah. I as far as percentage wise, those guys should not pay a lower tax rate than we do.
Right.
That's my biggest beef.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my biggest beef right there. You know, if we're stuck at what, between 25 and 27% or whatever the fuck it is, and that should be theirs too. They shouldn't be able to write it down to 10 or 15.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah, exactly. That shit's not cool.
I had to pay this year for the first time.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm probably going to have to pay too. You know, the whole tax bill, a lot of people are getting a wake up call.
Yeah.
We're like, well, I mean, y'all voted for that shit. So you should have known that.
Guess what? The middle class got fucked again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't even put my numbers in because I'm kind of like, plus, hell, I don't know whether I'll be working next week at this point because we might wind up in another shutdown at the end of the week. We just have to see.
Yeah, so, that sucks. Hopefully you are.
Yeah, I've been hedging my bets just in case, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but getting back to Activision Blizzard, it looks like this is just one of those we didn't make enough money this quarter, so we got to do something to cut our losses, so they're cutting jobs. And I think a lot of it, too, from what I understand, is the fact that Destiny pulled out. So they had a large amount of staff that were dedicated to Destiny customer service and positions related to Destiny 2. And since Destiny 2 pulled out, those positions aren't needed anymore.
I mean, this is what happens when you take development direction from your CFO.
Yeah, right. You know, exactly.
And, I mean, hell, EA is kind of in the same boat.
Yeah. And they were having, and we'll get to EA in a minute, there was a few things going on that they did wrong. Diablo out on a mobile platform, that's a beloved franchise, and you just turned it into a cash grab mobile game. Okay, that's going to piss your base off.
Yeah, that's CFO.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another a numbers thing guy was that made that call.
All the changes to World of Warcraft. By all accounts, this is the worst expansion yet, and has the least amount of players in it. I never played it, so I couldn't tell you exactly why that is. Did you? You did, though. You played it for a little while.
Yeah, I played it for maybe 4 months. I didn't hate it, but I don't know what the last two expansions were like when they were out either. So, you know, I was just kind of in there tooling around and, you know, just leveling up and then, you know, go out and do some stuff and then kind of exit and go play something else or go do something else. But, I played it for about 4 months.
And then, of course, there was the loot box controversy with Overwatch and the fact that they put most of their development time and energy into loot boxes instead of maps and content for the game.
Another CFO decision.
Yeah. And then Heroes of the Storm abandoning the esports aspect of it. It's now pretty much a dead game.
Yeah, that sounds like another CFO decision.
Yeah. It's just been a depressing year for Activision. Very depressing. Yep. So on to EA's troubles. EA's not in any better shape this year. They're actually blaming their single player, time spent on single player campaigns as a reason for them losing money. They said they should have done more Battle Royale and microtransactions in multiplayer games.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Here's the thing, though. I'm pretty sure that Black Ops 4 is pure multiplayer, right? I don't think it hit the same numbers that it has, that franchise has in the past either, because it doesn't have a campaign.
Right, exactly. There's nothing new. It's just a map pack, basically.
Yeah, with some Battle Royale stuff added, you know.
Yeah, so, the whole me too. Let's get on the bandwagon. Right. Everyone else is doing it.
Right. So if EA thinks that dropping the the little bit of single player stuff that they did add to the last two Battlefield games would have gained them more support than they are fooling themselves. Because a lot of the Battlefield loyals aren't with the microtransactions and stuff. It's essentially taking a franchise that everyone liked and trying to morph it into a cash cow or semi-cash cow. And even if they buy the game, they're not going to buy that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's, ooh, look at what they're doing, rinse and repeat.
Right.
Well, it's also they're deaf. They're tone deaf to their base, their customer base. And they don't take any of the feedback, and they're paying for it because people aren't buying their shit.
Right. Like, hell, I wouldn't have played the single player stuff in Battlefield if I didn't have it as part of the Origin thing.
Same. I haven't touched it yet, but I mean, because there's other games I want to play through first. But, you know, the last Battlefield game that I thought was good, that was an awesome game, was Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
That had an awesome campaign.
I still haven't finished the campaign
on that. Oh, that campaign is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. And I think they're just tone deaf. I mean, single player games with campaigns, or games with campaigns and multiplayer, that's what's going to sell. That's the new content that is going to sell, because otherwise it's just a map pack. What are you paying for?
Right.
It's the same shit over and over again.
And you know, in Battlefield 1, I didn't think I was going to like this single player layout where you have like a scenario that you play through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty dope because it doesn't keep you in the same area for very, very long. You know what I'm saying? You're not just kind of running down a corridor shooting people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You play the role of different heroes, so to speak, and you go to a different area and you're doing different things that was probably going on at the same time or whatever war period that they picked out for the game. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's pretty dope. I think Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5 have 5 single player scenarios each, and I really wish that they had a few more, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a little short. I mean, I think I finished them in about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just kind of cruising, you can play through one of those in an afternoon.
Yeah.
And if you do that for a week, then you've finished all the single player stuff.
So. No, I mean, I finished all the single player stuff in about 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just one sitting, went right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same for, I think, if I'm looking back, though, a campaign from one of those games usually ran between 7 and 8 hours anyway of total gameplay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, in my opinion, where that needs to be at that price. Yeah. Forgot where I was going with this. Anyway, Star Wars, Battlefront 2. Awesome campaign. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome story, awesome campaign. A little short, but still good. It was on the right track. I really enjoyed that campaign. In fact, I might go back and play it again.
Yeah.
Part of it, too, is that's a beautiful game. The scenery in there, it feels like Star Wars. They did a really good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was really good, too. I really enjoyed her story.
Yeah. I really hate that 1313 got canceled.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Something with a deep story, long role-playing RPG set in the Star Wars universe. That would make money, EA. It would make money. You don't have to have microtransactions.
Nope.
You don't have to have constant DLC.
Nope. Like, what game was that released, and it was like game of the year with no DLC, no microtransactions, single player?
Witcher, wasn't it? Or was it God of War?
God of War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Beautiful single player game.
Yep.
Game
if you
of the year
proof
and
EA,
made tons
then there
of money.
You go. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of game distributors, Metro Exodus preload on Steam, but not the Epic Games Store. That's kind of weird since it's supposed to be a Epic Games Store exclusive.
It doesn't surprise me at all. You know why? Because this shows that the Epic Game Store is fucking immature as shit. And all these publishing houses jumping ship over there to get that extra whatever percent, or kind of leaving everyone out in the cold. You know what I'm saying? So imagine if Metro Exodus was like a Witcher game.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to download that shit at once with no preload. Imagine there's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
They're going to have some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Some connection issues. Mm-hmm. Servers are going to be overloaded. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, this right here is, to me, this says this is why staying on Steam is worth it. And this is also why Valve charges as much as they do.
Yeah. Well, the exclusives are always bad for gamers.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. They don't do us any favors either. No. But yeah.
And that's been going on since, you know, that's been going on. It's been going on longer on the console side than it has on mm-hmm. the PC side. But it looks like exclusives are now coming to the PC side, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, like we said last time, hell, I'm not pressed. I got a huge ass library. I just wait till the shit come out where I want to buy it.
Right, the price you want to buy it at. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
same here. I, especially nowadays, because I have so many games, I have no reason to spend day one money on a game when I have a game library of, you know, 50% of the games I haven't played yet.
Yeah, I'd have to really, really, really want it.
Yeah, yeah. It'd have to be something that we're all playing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when Overwatch first came out, everybody was playing it.
Yeah. Like, if Origin didn't have Origin access, I would already own Anthem. You know what I mean?
Same here, yeah.
If they hadn't broken up Visceral and they released a Dead Space, I would pre-order the next Dead Space.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I'm like that with Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is kind of my Dead Space. I love that series. And I have to say, I've been still plugging through Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And it's finally gotten a little more action-y. I'm in the tomb with those really scary-looking dudes and the chick with the gold teeth. I put some screenshots up on my profile on my Steam page. But it's getting a little more action-y now. It's starting to pick up, so I'm enjoying it a little more. Sneaking
okay, cool.
around.
I have to check that out.
But, you know, they're kind of, what they've done with Shadow of the Tomb Raider 2 is they're trying to, again, nickel and dime you, because there's a store with more scenarios and more maps and DLC.
Mm.
And so I just hope that, and it probably is a sign of things to come, but because I won't buy any of that stuff. I'll just play the core game and be done with it.
Yeah.
Unless it's on a deep, deep sale. Then I'll pick it up.
Yeah. Typically what I'll do is if the season pass goes on sale, or if it's a game that I like that I got as part of a bundle and it didn't cost me anything, then I'll buy the season pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, like I got Assassin's Creed Odyssey from buying Vegas for mining, and I got a code. You know what I'm saying? So I bought the season mm-hmm. pass so I could play everything at once. Shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're at about, it's a short one this week, a little bit short anyway, but mm-hmm. that's really all we got for this week, unless you got something else.
No, not really.
Mm. Cool.
I just want to reiterate that the 7 does not suck, contrary to popular belief. It may not be the price you want to pay for it, but it doesn't suck.
So. Yeah. Go check out the benchmark numbers over at the AFKpodcast.net. Those are benchmarks from a real gamer.
Yep.
Not the media. Someone who paid with their own money. Right. Okay, we'd love to hear from our listeners, good or bad. You can email us at mail@theafkpodcast.net. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play. If you're on Google Play, you may need to resubscribe because I had to change the feed.
Okay.
You can also find us on Spotify and Stitcher. Find the AFK Podcast at theafkpodcast.net. You can download us direct from there, too. Additional support from the show. Our music is courtesy of thefreemusicarchive.org. And it is pod safe. The intro music is Skate by Kamiku. The outro music is Battle of Pogs by Kamiku. That's all I got. Jerry Gamer, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Curlin, thanks for being here tonight. I hated to cancel yesterday, but there was no way I could have pushed through this yesterday. So
yeah,
thank you for being
here.
So, all right. We will see you all in 2 weeks. Peace out.